The Ask NT Writes Anything podcast is back.
Hello, this is Tom Wright speaking to you from my study here in Oxford in England. I'm really looking forward to the fact that Mike Bird and I are relaunching the Ask NT Write Anything podcast, looking at key questions that people have sent in, but also developing some themes that he and I have been interested in and we're eager to talk about with one another.
Listen today on your chosen podcast provider and head to asknwrite.com to submit your question.
We need social entrepreneurs again. We need another Cadbury family. We need people that will say yes, not just to business, but actually, well, this can help transform people's lives.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Hi, my name's Shell Peris. I have four children and I live in the Midlands. I was in a Christian girl band 20 years ago that led me to do solo stuff, write books, write songs, lead a kids ministry called Alive, and I also run the Lions Programme for Christian Entrepreneurs and Pioneers.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Gary Spicer. I'm the Executive Director of Imagine the Day and also the CEO of Grace Foundation, which works within schools. I'm married, three children, seven grandchildren, and they all keep me very busy.
Wow, I'm sure they do. Well, thank you so much for giving me a bit of your time today. We're here today to primarily talk about the idea of Christian entrepreneurship. Now, some people may think those things don't go so well together, the idea of being a business person or even being a successful, wealthy business person and being a Christian. But I know that you guys are very passionate about this area. So, Shell, would you tell us, first of all, how you became involved in the Lions, what it is and how it supports this idea of the Christian entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I first became involved with the Lions 5 years ago because I was a delegate on the programme itself. So I went onto the programme with a thing called Alive, doing big events for kids and families. And we were the COVID year, so it took a little bit longer than normal. But the programme itself is 6 weekends over the course of 10 months. And during those 6 weekends, you get trained and mentored and coached and all kinds of amazing teaching on how to run a successful business or charity or social enterprise, or even just take the seed of an idea to the next level. And then at the end of the programme on weekend six, you get to go into the Lion's Lair, which is a little bit like Dragon's Den, if anybody's seen that. And you pitch your idea or your project to the Lions, and you have the opportunity to come away from that with some seed funding and further mentoring. So I was fortunate enough to come away with both those things, with some seed funding and further mentoring, and got onto the second year course. And then at the end of that second year course, made this comment about, oh, I really love organising events. And the next thing I found was that I was working for the Lions, setting up their Lions Alumni Association for all of the people that had been Lions delegates over the past, over the 12 years that it's been running. And then fast forward a little bit more, Chris Spicer has been leading the programme for the last 12 years and announced last year that he was going to be stepping down. And I was asked to take on the role of leading the Lions programme. So that's now what I do.
Well, I'm going to come back to you in a minute and ask you what it's given you and how you've benefited from it personally and why you would recommend it. But before we do that, Gary, would you just tell us, how do we think about the idea of a Christian entrepreneur? What is it?
Well, I think, first of all, we should think of it very naturally and not abnormally. And I think the church, to be honest, has got incredible amount of people sitting in its pews, whatever denomination, with dreams, with ideas, but no one really affirming or confirming that it's an idea from God. And I think we've got to move out of the pews into the marketplace and encourage people to dream and dream big. And being a pastor for the last 35 years, I think the challenge has been I've always wanted to cheer on people where I feel that they've got an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, something, an entrepreneur is a pioneer, someone who wants to start something, someone who wants to expand something, someone who feels they want to have a go, but in a safe environment. And we've got to de-risk some of that and also say if they get it wrong, they fail, they're not failures, and encourage that to happen. So over the last few years, yeah, I've been really enjoying encouraging entrepreneurs in the pew to be entrepreneurs in the marketplace with Jesus at the centre.
So do you think there's this idea really, like, for a lot of people that you're not really doing Christian ministry unless you're sort of working it for a Christian organisation or for something that is overtly Christian? Can you do that just in a secular sense?
Well, I think, first of all, it's about our heart, who our heart belongs to. And I think we haven't always got to do it in the context which has near enough been demanded upon over the years of church. I've been in a church all my life. I was brought up in church. And I've been a person who's thought outside the box and sometimes felt quite odd about that. And I think, you know, we shouldn't feel odd about that. We should feel that God is a creative God. He's putting creativity in us where we can affect people, we can expand his kingdom in different ways. And I think sometimes we've just been so narrow in the church that people have felt trapped rather than released. And it's my joy to really water those seeds and see people run in where God's called them.
And so for you, Shell, what difference did it make to the organisation that you were running, Alive, when you got involved with another organisation that was actually prepared, like Gary said, to water those seeds and to help you to grow it?
It was a breath of fresh air. It was exactly what I needed. And I don't think I'd realised how lonely I'd been until I got in a room with 15 other entrepreneurs and pioneers who thought a little bit like me and dreamed a little bit like me. And I realised, oh my goodness, you know, that in itself, that network of people that you could be around who were entrepreneurs just like I was an entrepreneur and pioneering new things just like I was wanting to pioneer new things was literally a breath of fresh air. It was incredible. And it gave me a springboard to be able to think that I can dream big. You know, that maybe there'd been times where, you know, I'd gone to somebody in the church and said, oh, I've got this idea to do this and been really excited about it. And it was like somebody had just burst that bubble straight away. Well, that's never going to happen. All of a sudden, and I was in the presence of people who you'd say that to, and they'd be like, oh, that's great. Let's think about how we can make that happen. And, you know, the strapline for the Lions is release impossibility. And that's exactly what the Lions programme did for me. It released that sense of this could actually be possible.
And actually, if we look back over history, you know, there are a lot of really, really impressive Christian entrepreneurs, aren't there?
You
look at people like the Cadbury family. There's tons of Quakers, especially, it seemed to be, were very good in the Victorian era of starting huge businesses that also created a lot of social good as well. What is it that we can bring to business as Christians that makes what we do or how we do it better or different?
My answer to that is that people matter. And I think at the centre of everything we do, like Jesus, you know, he didn't die for an organisation, he died for individuals. And I think that when we want to do something, first of all, it should not be an idea that only benefits me. It's got to be a benefit for the rest. It's got to be a benefit for people. And I think, you know, the benefit I get is when I see people released. And so, yes, we need social entrepreneurs again. We need another Cadbury family. We need people that will say yes, not just to business, but actually, well, this can help transform people's lives or make them better. We live in such a lonely society today, and there's a lot of isolation. And we're not talking in church. Church there is too, but in general places, there's a breakdown of people's lives. Well, we should come with an answer. With the message of Christ at the centre, but not just saying Jesus is the answer, show how he's the answer by helping practically and giving people an opportunity to break through for a better life.
And obviously what you do, Shell, is very clearly Christian. It's a Christian ministry that works with children and families. What about those businesses that might not, on the surface of it, look Christian, that are just, for want of a better word, just businesses?
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole mix of people and delegates that come on the Lions programme, some with charities, some with Christian charities, some with businesses, some with social enterprises, some with just an idea for something. And I think what's beautiful about that is that every single one of those people, because they love Jesus, they want to bring Jesus into it in some way. So we're really strong with the Lions on where's the kingdom objective of this. You know, even if you've got a business that's got absolutely nothing to do with the gospel, there is still a way that God's kingdom can be impacted through that business, whether it's giving money away, whether it's, you know, being so successful that you've got loads to invest in something that, you know, could impact the kingdom and is gospel centered. So we bring that challenge really strongly.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? I'm thinking of like really well-known examples of that, even in modern day, like Timpsons and Iceland, that have a Christian guy who's very senior who recruits lots of people out of prisons. So there are actually lots of different ways that we can use even what we would consider as traditional business in order to bring good and live the gospel out, isn't there?
Yeah, totally. Because we've got this amazingly wonderful creative God at the centre of it all, who has got no shortage of ideas. You know, every idea that we have comes from God, and he's got a million more plus, you know, in his bank of ideas almost. And we just get the privilege of being the vessels and the vehicles of those ideas. You know, I do think that God gives us an invitation, you know, and he says, you know, will you do this? Will you, you know, gives us this idea. And we have to navigate what we're going to do with that idea that God's given to us. Are we just going to let it stay there in our hearts and not actually see it fulfilled in any way? Are we going to run with it? Are we going to kind of try and make it happen? You know, let's not be people that sit and wait for God to do everything, but let's take what God's given us and run with it and see what can happen and take a risk, and maybe you'll fail and you'll get back up again and you'll do something, you know, differently to make it work. Or it's just having that determination and that perseverance, I think. And, you know, I'd love to see people in church just being released to be able to do those things that God's put within them to do.
And do you think we do that very well at the moment? Do we talk about business and about, you know, what happens Monday to Friday in our churches enough?
No, we do it terribly. We failed miserably. But we're living in a day of opportunity, great opportunity, where I think there's people out there that don't want to hear religion, but they do want to hear about a God who loves them, and also that they can play a part in changing people's lives as their life is changed too. And so what we carry a message into everything we do. So for me, there's no such thing as a Christian business. There are Christian businessmen, Christian businesswomen. They're the core. They carry the culture and they carry the spirit for change. The business itself is just a vehicle, as Shell was saying. But the issue is, what do we carry into that? And what are the fruits that we want to see out of it? And, you know, ultimately, I live and die on seeing lives transformed and lives being made better. So in the Lions, when people come with an idea, you know, I don't think God ever celebrates us getting things right. I was brought up, get everything right. You know, I was brought up in a Christian home. If you get it wrong, you know, it's bad. But actually, I've learned now that God celebrates more an overcomer than a person who gets things right. And of course, we all know, don't we? We fall down, we fail, we do different things wrong. And we've got to encourage people with an overcoming spirit, a resilient spirit that says, I'm doing this for more than me. And I'm doing it to benefit people's lives. And I think a true entrepreneur doesn't look at themselves. They look at how they can benefit others.
And that's interesting, because as Christians, we should have that resilience, shouldn't we? Because if our security is in Christ, if our identity is in Christ, if we're sure in the call that he's placed in our lives, then hopefully we should be the type of people actually that are far more comfortable stepping out, taking a risk. And those are the kind of characteristics you need to succeed in business.
It's a great message, isn't it?
Yeah.
But too many don't live it. And I think, first of all, we've got to be secure, exactly what you say, in who we are, who owns us, who died for us, and who thought we were worth it. And I think when we can put a worth on who we are that someone else did for us, then we should be far more secure and, I think, far more resilient. And we know the end of the story. So even when there's a blip, we still know the end of the story. And that's our security. Not what we do, and if we fail or have a bad day, or if someone says no to us. That happens everywhere. But we've got to know that ultimately the one who said yes to us, and why we're doing what we're doing.
And the flip side of that is, it should also, in theory, guard us against the shadow side of that, which is, you know, we see in a lot of businesses, the men and women that rise to the top are those that are willing, quite frankly, to climb on over others to get there. And, you know, what it takes to succeed in business is quite often perceived to be a ruthlessness and an ambition and a drive, which doesn't always come from a healthy place. So as Christians, how do we guard ourselves against being sucked into that sort of dark side of
success? Well, first of all, we've got to get a healthy definition of success.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, most people haven't. And it's about me. It's how people view me. It's like, look what I've done. We've got to get the I out of it. And we've got to get back to kind of like, again, like I said earlier, who called us to do this? Who got me into this position? Who's going to keep me in this position? And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be too spiritual, but he gets all the glory. You know, not me. And I think success, people walk over people because they're so... Look, sin today is selfishness. We've got to be selfless more. And I think when we get that into us, our identity becomes healthy, who we are becomes healthy, and what we do produces true fruit.
Mm. I think it's about having great people around you as well. You know, I think when you surround yourself with great people who you give permission to ask those gritty questions, and, you know, you're humble enough and honest enough to be able to answer those, then that's a really great thing as well. And I'm always looking for opportunities to cheer somebody on further than me. You know, I was thinking about it this week, actually, and something else that I was preparing, and I was thinking about how I want to see people go further than me and run faster than me and build on my ceilings. And that's not because... For no other reason than I just want to see God's kingdom come, and I want to see people released to be everything that God's created them to be. You know, because I think about as a mum with my kids, you know, I just want my kids to be everything that God's created them to be. I don't want to put my agendas on them or my kind of, you know, beliefs on them or anything like that. I want them to be who God has created them to be. And I think sometimes we think that we've got to be the best at everything, you know, but actually... You know, I want the team of people that I'm working with to be better than me in things, because that's what makes a great team. You know, so again, it's not all about what I can bring and what I can do and how I can look good, but it's about how, as a team who are on this mission together, whether that's a team that you're working with, whether it's a team that you're on a course with, whether it's a team that, you know, your church team or your church family, that together we can do something far greater than I could ever do on my own.
I think within the culture of Lions, we talk about the good, bad and the ugly. And we're not ashamed to do that. And even those of us who share within and teach, we share the good, the bad and the ugly. You know, about the Christian life, about how we've walked, how we failed, but how we're still walking. Mm-hmm. And I think the issue is it's not when we fell down, it's that we got up and we kept walking. And I'm sure there's a lot of people even listening today, you know, they've been knocked down by people, themselves, mistakes, whatever. But, you know, it's time to get back up. Because we need to get back up for the sake of why Jesus died for us, our calling. And in that calling, it's for the saving of many lives, like it was for Joseph. And I think we've just got to have that spirit of kind of like, this is not about me.
Mm.
And I think within the Lions, that's why we don't want to own anything. We're not trying to build a kingdom for ourselves. We want to be a springboard for others and just smile as they go further, they go better, and they achieve things for the kingdom and for the bettering of other people's lives.
And what would it look like, do you think, for the UK, for our society, if there were more men and women of faith who owned and ran successful businesses with a kingdom focus? What could the impact be?
Well, hopefully, you know, people matter more than profits. I'm not saying a business shouldn't make profits. I believe they should. But I think people want to feel valued. And I think, you know, we should have businesses and organisations where people really do feel valued. There's nothing perfect out there. And if there's a problem, we're able to have a conversation about it rather than a confrontation. And I think that's the problem. You know, we wait for confrontation rather than have a conversation. And I think good leadership encourages and fosters conversations before confrontation and also puts people first. And I think it would look a lot different. I think people would feel a lot different. I think it would be multiplied. And I think people would then perhaps get up in the morning and start to feel positive about going to work. But also that they would come home knowing that they did something that was worthwhile. I think people are, you know, whether they're Christians or not today, are more cause and call driven than we realise. And I need to get out of bed each morning for cause and call and relationship, not to earn some money.
But money is important.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at where we are in the UK now, food bank use is through the roof. You know, we've been through years of austerity, inflation. We're not in a particularly great place as a country right now. There's a lot of need out there. Does it have a practical implication? Does it solve any of those social issues?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, the big word is purpose. You know, if you have got people who know their purpose and are running in their purpose, then that impacts society as a whole. So if your purpose, if what God's called you to do is to go and set up an amazingly successful, or a business that becomes amazingly successful, and you earn loads of money from it, and then you can reinvest that money into different things that God tells you to reinvest it into, then absolutely fantastic. If your purpose is, you know, setting up a charity that does something wonderful, like go and set up the charity that does something wonderful, be that world changer. And I think that is the thing that people are scared to do, because all of that involves risk. It all involves coming to a point where you have to count the cost. You know, there's a cost to it. And people are frightened of taking that step, you know. And I think if we had a, an attitude, or more of an attitude of, I need to discover my purpose and go and do that, because that's the thing that's going to, you know, that's going to cause the world to be changed. Not necessarily the world as a whole, but, you know, my world, whether it's a community or a town or a, you know, a social situation. It's having that sense of purpose and running with it. You know, I think we've got too many people who are frightened of finding out their purpose and running with it.
Hi, I'm Sam Hales, editor of Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Every month, our team brings you deep, thoughtful journalism around the biggest topics affecting you as a Christian today. Our mission is to help you encounter God through the magazine. The latest issue features Switchfoot lead singer John Foreman, plus we're previewing the largest gathering of Christians ever. Find out more in the latest issue of Premier Christianity magazine.
And also, I guess, you've got, on the one hand, you know, if you are a Christian and you think you're being called into Christian ministry, there's a clear pathway into that, isn't there? You can go to theology college, you can become a vicar. And on the other hand, if you do feel drawn towards business, you may go to university and do an economics degree or a law degree or whatever it is you choose to do. In the middle is actually this big pool of people who may have the idea for a business or a social enterprise or a charity, but don't fall into either one of those camps. So where did they go to get their help?
Yeah, the thing is, those people will make it happen anyway.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, the point is, I understand exactly what you said, but some of the greatest entrepreneurs, secularly and business-wise, failed at school. They didn't walk the normal route, but they made it.
Yeah.
And also, in the midst of it, most of them have got a heart of compassion as well. You talked earlier about food, but I mean, absolutely. We need to carry a heart of compassion about everything we do. So purpose has to be surrounded by compassion. The only thing I would say about this is that compassion should never compromise our conviction. And I think so. We should never compromise our values, but it needs to be compassionate. And I think also the other issue is that, you know, we are helping carry someone to a better place, not continually carrying someone. And, you know, that might sound a bit harsh to some people, but I think, you know, there are different seasons and different periods of time where people really need help. And I think entrepreneurs with a compassion, and there should always be a compassion from a Christian point of view, should be helping, and should be helping practically, you know, whether it be food bank. And, you know, through ITD and things we do, you know, we are in schools, for example, we carry a fund where we are helping a lot of poor families, even down to a point of, like, you know, if they haven't got a bed or the children are sharing a bed or there's no curtains at the window, we have a fund where we will help them. And that's all in the schools. And again, I've got entrepreneurs that donate into that, and we filter that out to where the need is. So compassion has to be the covering for everything. But compassion should not continue to carry people. We should be carrying people to a better place where they can fend for themselves, if possible.
I was one of those people where I haven't got A-levels. I haven't been to university. I just sensed a call of God on my life when I was 16 to be a healer of broken hearts at the time through my music. And so my natural thing was, okay, well, what do I need to do that then? You know, and I remember recording a demo and sending it off to all these Christian, I Googled all these Christian record labels and I sent it off. And, you know, so most of them got back to me and said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't offer you anything at the moment. And then one passed my demo CD on to another organisation. And then I ended up getting an audition with them, which then got me into the Christian girl band that I was in. And, you know, it's that kind of get up and go attitude that if you feel the call of God, you know, and get yourself into a place where you do feel the call of God, because we can all hear the call of God and we've all got a purpose and God's got a plan for every single one of us. And then when God reveals that to you, have the energy to actually go out and do something about it. I think far too often we just wait for God to do it all. We just go, oh, well, God's called me to do this, so he's going to make it happen. And, you know, I guess in, to a certain degree, maybe there is some truth in that. But I also think that God's given us a brain and he's given us common sense and he's given us, you know, the ability to actually go and push doors ourselves. And my experience is that if you push a door that God doesn't want open, he'll make it very clear to you, you know. But if you push a door that God's like, yeah, go for it, go for it, you know, it opens and it leads to other opportunities and other things. So I think it's having that get up and go attitude as well, married with knowing what your purpose and your calling is, married with compassion and, you know, some of those other things that we've talked about, and going out there and making a difference. You know, we've all got these unique individual things that God's given to us. It's not like he's called us all to be the same thing, because wouldn't the world be a boring place if that were the case? You know, he's called us all to be something different. So let's not compete with each other or compare ourselves with each other or say, oh, well, she's doing that, so I've got to go and do something better, or he's doing that, so I've got to go and do something similar to that. Do what it is that God's called you to do and do it really well and push those doors and just see what happens.
Thank God that God qualifies the unqualified.
Yes.
Because I sit here today and I never got a GCSE. I didn't get an A level or a degree. My sister was the clever one. I was told I should have worked harder. But the issue is, the first day I started work was in my father's business in a shop. I was 16. And I remember looking out from the shop front and I knew that my father's destiny for me was to run the business, work in the shop. And I remember looking out at on the road where his business was and thinking, this is not my life at 16. I've got to do something else. And that was the first day. And I think that drive within me was really the seed of, like, I'm going to do it different. And it's okay. You know, when I first started pastoring, I was 26 when I took on a church as a senior pastor. Had not been to Bible college. And I remember the church leadership asking me, and I said, I can't do it the way you want. I'd have to do it differently. Unfortunately, at that point, they said, yes, that's okay. I'm not sure they knew what they were saying. And I did do it differently, and I've done things differently, but that's the entrepreneur pioneer, that there's got to be a better way sometimes. I'm not saying my way's the best, but there's got to be a better way, because what we've done up to now, I don't think we've got a lot to shout about. And if we've only got 3% going to church in Great Britain, something like that statistic, then we're not really succeeding, are we? And it's the greatest message we carry, and we need to carry it in a different way to a broken world.
So do you see this almost as evangelism? Do you think that, like, actually running a business can lead people to Christ?
Yeah, but through our life and how we live, not just through preaching. I think we've preached enough, if I'm honest. I think now people need to see that the message in our lives, how we overcome difficulties. You know, I've got three children. My eldest is 36, daughter, and I've got a son, 34, and a daughter, 23. My daughter, 23, she keeps me on my toes, okay? She's still at home. But my son, only 5 years ago, he was on holiday with his wife with two children, and he suddenly collapsed and had a seizure, and they found out he got two tumours, brain tumours. Our world was shaken, really shaken, as you can imagine. He'd never been ill in his life. He'd never had a headache. But here he was, actually in Thailand, the other side of the world, and fighting for his life. Those are the moments when, you know, you find out who you really trust, i.e. God. Secondly, you've got loads of questions, which you're not getting answered. But thirdly, then, you've got to kind of, like, not panic, but move in purpose and do the best you can and let God do the rest. You know, and it's a whole story in itself, but he survived. He's now got four children. He's running a normal job, and he's a great, great son and a great boy. But our world was shaken for nearly a year while he fought for his life in different ways and had to have operations and that. And I think we all get curved walls. So when you step out, the first thing you'll have is a curved wall. And then you think, I knew I shouldn't have done this. But that's not what you should do. If you've got a conviction to do something, and if people who are listening today, you've got a conviction to do something, step out. But you will get a curved ball. But don't let it divert you from what you know you should do.
That's a really good answer. Okay, let's talk about the sticky issue of wealth before we wrap up, because I've got a sneaky suspicion that maybe one of the reasons Christians don't talk or think about entrepreneurship very much is because maybe we have this perception that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you're obviously trying to be the next business tycoon, and that that's not the right thing to do as a Christian. So firstly, is that what entrepreneurship is about? And secondly, is it okay for Christians to want to be wealthy?
Well, the first thing is, you know, entrepreneurship isn't just about getting wealthy. It's about changing situations that you touch.
I was going to say, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm not wealthy. So it's definitely not true.
Money cannot be the drive. That's the point is. Secondly, you asked the question about wealth. I think in this country, we're embarrassed about wealth. You know, I was brought up in a business family. My grandfather started the business. And this was my baptism into wealth, really. They weren't wealthy, but they were comfortable. And my grandfather, whenever he bought a new car, he'd hide it round the back of the shop and leave it there for 6 months so the customers could not see that he'd bought a new car. And I remember as a young kid, really, going to him and said, "You've got a new car, Grandad, why aren't you showing it?" "No, don't talk about that." And it was embarrassment of success and wealth. He'd worked hard for that. And I think what we've got to get to is the point is money's not the problem. It's our attitude towards it. I know a lot of people who aren't wealthy who are incredibly generous. And I know people who are wealthy who aren't generous, but I also know the other way around as well. I know wealthy people right now, I'm connected with a lot of wealthy people who are really generous. They just don't brag about it. They give privately, they support things because they're comfortable with money. Now, do they spend on themselves? Yes. But I think the issue is we've got to say what drives us. I need to be comfortable with what I have financially. And then it's about being a good steward. I remember speaking to a very wealthy person, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago. And I said, "You're so wealthy now, it must be hard to know what you give." I said, "Probably you're at the point of asking God what you keep." And I do think when you get to a certain wealth, that's the question. The question changes, not from what I give, but God, what do you allow me to keep? Because we all will give an answer, whether it's wealth or even talents, everything we had. And I think we've just got to stop getting embarrassed about money. And we've got to see it as a tool to help change people's lives. And if people have got and you haven't got, don't get jealous because you'll get you nowhere. I mean, and also, we never know people's story.
Yeah. It seems to me that, like, in Christian circles in the States, for example, that people are much more open about money, or probably just generally, actually, compared to British culture. Is that better? Like, would it help us as the church if we did get more comfortable talking about money? Would it help us to be more generous, for example, do you think?
I think it would. I think it would help us. Look, I'm not going to advocate all the American ways on money, or even within the church. That's not what I'm going to say, because they've got challenges that we don't have. But I think we're somehow in the British mindset and in church, we're embarrassed or you don't talk about those things. And I think, you know, we've got to understand money is not the treasure, it's a tool. And it's how we use that tool. So I have a responsibility. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. That's not just about money. That's talents, I know. But at the end of the day, my responsibility is to be a good steward of what I've given. And I need help sometimes for people to help me of how I approach money, you know. And I talk with people about that for myself, and I talk with others and help others. What I do find is that, you know, someone once said to me that money is a terrible master but a great servant. And I think it's a mindset thing. However much I've got, I've just got to make sure it's my servant, not my master.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would agree with that.
I come from the East End of London, so we're not shy about talking about money at all. It's the complete opposite, I think, the culture that I grew up in Essex in the 80s.
Yeah. No, I think money is one of these big taboo subjects that people just don't like talking about. You know, we don't like talking about how much our houses cost or what mortgages we've got or whether we're in debt or whether we're not in debt. And, you know, I think money can get people into a lot of trouble really quickly. And there's a judgment over it. You know, I remember being, when I was in the Christian band, we had to raise our own salaries. And, oh my goodness, it created such a negative thing in me about money that I've had to overcome over the years, you know, like to the point where I was like, oh, I can't be seen to be wearing that coat because people will think that I'm earning lots of money, or I can't be seen to be going out to that place for dinner because people will think that I'm earning lots of money. And I think if we just talked about it more, that actually a lot of that would fall away. You know, I think it can be a huge issue in relationships. You know, talking about money, who's dealing with money, how much are you earning, all that, you know, you say things, don't you, about people like, how are they affording that? And you just think, let's just talk about money, whether it's money from what you're giving to church and what you're tithing, whether it's money in your family, whether it's money that you're earning, whether it's money that you've got that you can be generous with. Let's just be more open about it.
I think that there's been a problem in the church of extremes. There's been a poverty spirit that I believe is over the church in Britain. But then you've had some extremes of prosperity teaching. I'm just going to say it. You know, I actually believe in prosperity, but the prospering of my heart is far more important than my pocket. And I think we've got to teach a lot more on the prospering of our heart, because money can't buy me some things, inner peace. Money can't buy me health. Money can't buy me heaven. And I think that we've just got to, I believe in prosperity within the church, but money is only a secondary thing to prosperity. A healthy life, healthy relationships are far more worth anything than money. Now, I do believe that God can prosper us financially, but that's not the driver. And I think there's been wrong teaching. I think people have been manipulated into giving that they will get back. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. I mean, it talks about sowing and reaping, absolutely. But the point is, that's like a transactional thing with God. There's no transactional thing with God when we give. We give. Otherwise, it's a loan. And I think too many people in British church around give loans to God, not gifts. And there could be people that write into you about this. But I am seriously, we do need to prosper in our hearts first. And then I do believe we can prosper financially. Because if God's got our heart, he can trust our pocket.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good that can be done with that.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, surely that's a positive. Yeah. We've seen it throughout our history. We know it happens today. There are a lot of good things that are funded by good people that have a lot of cash.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely okay. And we would need that more. But let's remember that the woman's mind matters as well.
Everything we have belongs to God. And that if we have that mentality, then it helps you to be more generous and it helps you to give better anyway. Mm. You know, whatever you have, whether it's little, whether it's loads, whether it's somewhere in between, everything that we have belongs to God. And I think we make the mistake of going, oh, well, that's mine now. You know, I've bought this. Well, that's mine. You know, and this is mine. And even relationships, it's all mine. And it's not. It's all God's. And I think if we live with an open hand, you know, where we're holding the things that God's entrusted to us firmly, but with that open hand, where God can take away and give at any point, that's the place that we need to be living in, not a place where we're saying, it's mine, mine, mine.
Yeah, and it's really important. I learned this when I was young. I own nothing freehold. But God does give me the privilege of having a leasehold. And that's on money, that's on family, that's on ministry. And too many people think they own things freehold even beyond God. It's a big problem. And why don't people give? Because they're giving to a personality, not the purpose of Jesus. I know, I feel strongly about this, because I think if we get this right, it breaks open a whole new river of finance and blessing upon the church in Great Britain. And then lots of things can be funded that are struggling now. And I think we've really got to have a spiritual breakthrough. We've also got to have a mindset breakthrough.
Yeah, and because it is a mindset, isn't it? And it is sometimes, I wonder if we put money into a specific category that's separate to other things. My husband and I have had this chat many times in the past. He's said to me before, he says he actually finds it much easier to give money than he does time.
Yeah.
So everybody has their thing, don't they? The thing that you hold
dear.
And
it's all part of giving.
And it's, exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, it doesn't, maybe because we've made money the thing, that it then becomes something separate, when actually you're right, whether it's your gifts, your talents, your time, your money, they're all God's. And if we approach it as all being God's, those dreams, those visions, then we pursue the things that he's calling us into.
I think I've never understood people that, just to be honest, that kind of withhold their tithe but still go to the same church. My life is far more important than my pocket. So I can plant my life in a church, but I'm not going to plant my money. And that is making a statement that my money is more important than my life. And, you know, I'm not saying people should go and leave churches all the time. I'm not on about that. Work it through where you can. But I do think we've got to put a value system about where we're planted for our lives, for our spiritual growth, for our good well-being, for our community. And if that's good, then, of course, that our money follows that. But if we're not putting money in, why are we putting our lives in? And I think we've got to start asking ourselves some honest questions in our mentality and mindset to money. Money takes too much of a paramount in our decisions, more than healthy living, spiritual life, community belonging. But remember, God wants us to prosper and with money, but he's got to get our heart first.
I think it's having the good sense with money, though, as well. You know, I've done it myself in years gone by where, you know, I've felt God say that you've got to do, you know, I've got to do something. And then people say, so how are you going to pay for that? And I'm like, oh, God will provide the money. It'll be fine. You know, and actually it comes back to the fact that God's given us a brain and, you know, that we need to make sure that we've got good financial structures in place around us to enable something to happen. You know, so when God gives us a vision for something, it's like, okay, so how are we going to make that happen from a financial perspective? You know, what's our plan in that? And we have loads of people on the Lions that come through and they've got all these amazing, incredible projects and ideas. But then the business plan, the financial plan of, you know, a year's time, 3 years time, 5 years time to make that thing sustainable is the bit that they really struggle with, because it's like, well, God's given me a vision, so of course he's going to provide. It's like, well, yeah, God does provide, but he doesn't just provide through the miraculous checks that turn up in the post or the people that say, oh, I want to give you X amount of money to help support your project or dream. It comes through sitting down and planning and making sure that you've got those plans and those structures in place, because that's what creates the foundation of being able to move something forwards.
Of course, a dream without a strategy is a fantasy.
Yeah.
And that is actually one of the differentiators of Christian business, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And organisations and programmes like Lions, because really in a secular world, you would not be sharing your hard-won wisdom and experience with other people who are just starting out, because you'd be too worried about prospering your own business. But as Christians, we know we're called to share all of that. And and that is another way that we can, you know, really be kingdom-minded in our business.
Yeah.
And that's success, isn't it? Success with a Christian mindset is sharing, sacrificially giving to others, time, as you mentioned earlier, not just finance. And it's just, but what a privilege it is to sow into others. And as Shel said earlier, see people run further than you've ever run, jump higher than you've ever jumped, be more successful. You know, if my identity is in Christ, as we talked about earlier, and I'm secure, I should just cheer that on. And I should not be jealous. Maybe a healthy jealousy of wow, but not a real jealousy. It's just like, Lord, you allowed me to play a little part to help them jump that high.
And I guess as well, it enables those businesses that come through programs like the Lions, who learn how to run their organisations well, to be a really good example in the marketplace, doesn't it? Because, you know, we see those horror stories of charities and even Christian organisations which are not run well, which might have started back along with a great idea or a great vision, but either through negligence or just lack of skills or expertise have somehow got themselves in a bit of a muddle and end up causing pain and hurt. We want to avoid that, don't we?
Well, discipline's really important in all this. Keeping your word. You know, we like to talk about keeping that word. And that's difficult. You know, just a very quick story. You know, years ago, we were having our first child, and it was when everyone was gazumping, you couldn't get houses, and I promised this guy I'd sell my house to him. He shook my hand and he said, you will sell it me and not quit out, won't you? Because he knew the time we're in. I said, that's right. It was actually one of the worst promises I ever made, because in the midst of it, we got let down on three houses, because where's God now? And ended up living with my parents and having our first child while living at my parents. Well, as you can imagine, made my wife a very happy camper with me, you know? And we had to live there for 6 months. And I learned a lot through that, because I lost money, but I kept to my word. And it was about 10 years later, and, you know, I always thought, why did I do that? But keeping to my word was important. But I thought, I've got to be careful where I give my word. I think that's something we all have to learn. But 10 years later, we were about to move again, and I was looking for a house. And one of my congregation members rang me and said, we're moving house. We know you love our house. And I said, oh, I love your house. It's beautiful. I said, but I can't afford your house. And this guy said to me, will you just come round and meet me? My wife was a little embarrassed. She said, I'm not coming. No, I went and met this guy and he said, you've blessed us so much. And he said, you know, we know, what can you afford? I said, I can't even tell you, it's embarrassing. And I told him it was about 20, 25% less than what he was selling it for. And he said, we'll sell it you for that. And I was embarrassed. I said, you don't need to. No, I want to do that. God's told us to do this, to bless you. And as I was walking down the path 10 years later, God whispered in my ear, you kept your word, I'm now keeping mine.
Wow.
And I think, I'd forgot, I never held God to ransom. But it was like, God is no debtor of man and he keeps his word. But sometimes we've got to keep it and lose. But actually, we then give God an opportunity to bless us, because he doesn't forget we keep our word. And I think those sort of things of integrity, I've learned in my life, really matter.
Mm. Okay, so as we wrap this up, give us a little plug, Shell, for the Lions and the programme that you've got coming up, and tell people how they can reach out and get involved.
Yeah, so we're coming to the end of our 2024 programme, and we're now recruiting for our 2025 programme that starts in January 2025. So we run from January through to the end of October. And so we're looking for people who have got a dream or a seed of an idea, maybe a business or a charity or a social enterprise. It can be this in the startup phase. It can be in a phase where it just needs launch into that next level. We're looking for people to apply to be on the Lions programme in 2025. So if you think that the Lions could help you in some way, or you want to know more, you can go to our website, which is thelions.org.uk. And on there is all the information about the Lions programme, all the dates for next year, because we do put a big emphasis on making sure that you can commit to all six weekends. And the application process is all on there as well. You just click the apply button. We just ask for some references, some stories of how you came to know Jesus, your CV, what you've been up to all your life, and a little video telling us about what your project is and how you think the Lions could help you. So who knows? You could be like me. but yeah, if you think that the Lions programme could be for you, then check it out on our website.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity magazine.